There are some things revealed in the Scriptures that are precious to God. They're precious to God. And I want to look at seven of these things. I'm going to spend a great deal of time on them because we have seven. But I want to look at each one of them, and I want you to turn with me to these seven Scriptures. And let's see what's precious to God. And let's see if these things are precious to us. The first thing we read about here in Psalm 133 is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. This is precious. The text is dealing with brotherly love. It says, verse 1, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." And then he tells what it's like. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. That oil was made out of the most costly, most valuable spices there were. And that oil represents the Holy Spirit. That oil was poured out upon Aaron. Aaron was the high priest. And Christ is the high priest of his people, upon who was anointed with the Holy Spirit beyond measure. And this brotherly love, and this true brotherly love, which is unity together and unity by which we're joined to Christ in love. That's the true love, is first to Christ. If there's love to Christ, there'll be brotherly love. There'll be brotherly love. It's the bond that binds His people together. And this bond that binds us with Christ and binds us to each other is due to the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That is, the Holy Spirit giving us life in all things that pertain to godliness. We would not have any idea that we'd been sanctified by the electing grace of God the Father, that we'd been perfected forever by the one offering of Christ, sanctified in Him by our sanctifier, had we not been sanctified by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. This is what the Scriptures tell us in 2 Corinthians 13:14. I'll just read this to you. But it's, he says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost." You see the three joined together? And it's by this communion of the Holy Spirit that we have and that we're united to Christ. So that in Christ, who is the King and the Priest, each of us who are brethren are made kings and priests unto God. We serve our King and we offer up sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing in His sight by this holy anointing. That's precious, isn't it? That's precious. Precious, precious. Here's the second thing. 1 Peter 2:7. We're familiar with a few of these. We've looked at them recently, but I want you to see these again. I didn't do these in really a particular order, but I did put the anointing of the Holy Spirit first because we have to have that before we can behold these other things. But when we have that anointing of that precious anointing of that oil of the Spirit, Christ Himself is precious. Look at 1 Peter 2:7. "Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious." He is precious. The all-important question is this: what think ye of Christ? That's the all-important question. This is so. In proportion to how the Holy Spirit makes us to see our dire, desperate, worthless condition, that's how much Christ will be precious to us, in direct proportion to it. You see somebody that could take or leave Christ, that don't care to really hear all that much about Him, it's because they don't think they need Him all that much. The person who can't live without Christ knows he has no life without Christ. Christ is precious. It's like a, you ever seen like a dovetail joint that goes, you know, they go right together. That's how it is. It's just proportionate to how God reveals our dire need is how we'll love and regard Him as precious. And it's Him that's precious. He is the fitness Himself. The preciousness is in His person. That's what the preciousness is. He's God the Son. If He were not divine deity, then His work wouldn't have been effectual. It wouldn't have been saving work. It's His divine deity of His person. He's God the Son. He's God. He's God. And He's man. And that means that He was able as a man, the sinless, spotless man, perfect, undefiled, separate from sinners, He was able to lay down His life and make Himself to be the substitute for His people. He was able because He's spotless, the spotless Lamb. And He could do that, wherein there's no other one that could do that. He's the only one that could do that. And this one is, He's the one who's precious to us because He's God and He's man. That means all power in heaven and earth is given to Him, so that just as He provided everything for us when He went to the cross and laid down His life for us, so it is that from His throne of grace, He continues with all power and all in heaven and earth to work everything to bring the truth to His people, to give them life and faith and all things through the Spirit of God. He's able to do this through His gospel. And because He's man, burdened and touched with all the feeling of our infirmities, this same one who has control of everything that is His, all things, from the least little atom to the biggest thing me and you can see, every bit of it's in His omnipotent control. And this same one knows exactly what you and I need, what we go through, what we suffer, so that He can sympathize with every one of our needs. There's not a more precious one than Christ. He's precious. He's an honor. He's an honor. Unto you, therefore, who believe, He is precious. And so it is in 1 Peter 1:19. And this goes right along with that. When we see how precious He is, that's when we really understand how precious His blood is. How precious His blood is. 1 Peter 1:19 says, "We were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ." Life is in the blood. If you have no life, no blood in you, you will have no life in you. The life's in the blood. It's the most precious thing is blood. The life's in the blood. Well, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. There's no putting away of the sin of His people without the shedding of blood. Christ, shedding of blood means His life. Without Him giving His life in our room instead, there wouldn't be any putting away of sin. The blood of Christ, the life of Christ, that's what links, that's the link that brings together God's infinite holy justice and God's mercy. That's the uniting bond that joins together God's holiness with His love and His mercy and His goodness to us. And that's the bond, that blood is the bond that brings you and I into the union to see and delight in His holiness, in His justice, in His righteousness, because that holiness, that righteousness, that justice demands His love and His mercy and His kindness continue to us, because it's all wrapped up in that blood. It's all satisfied and joined together in that blood. And that's what makes us rejoice in Him, is that blood. He purchased the church with His own blood. It's precious to us because it's precious to the Father. It's precious to the Father. When God saves a sinner, whatever is precious to God, He makes that precious to His people. And all of these things, they're precious to Him. This holy unity that He creates by His Spirit, that is precious to the Father. This one who is God the Son in human flesh, He's precious to the Father. His blood is precious to God the Father. And He makes that which is precious to Him precious to His people. He entered into that presence of God with His blood. He purges the conscience of His people with His blood. His blood continually cleanseth us from all sin. And the Lord said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Provided by God the Father, blood shed by God, man, mediator, God presented to the Father by our great high priest, blood applied to our hearts by the Holy Spirit of God, blood rested in by every believer, and it's by His grace causing us to continually remember Him that the believer has assurance, and that assurance is in His blood. This is what we're going to observe here today in taking the Lord's table. The Lord said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. As often as you drink this, remember me. Remember my blood. Remember my blood. Here's the fourth thing. 2 Peter 1:1. I won't spend a great deal of time here because we looked at this recently, but I do want to point out something to you about this. When we have these things given to us, faith is precious to us. Faith becomes precious to us. He says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. All these things are so inseparably connected. Don't you see that? How all these things are so inseparably connected. The gift of faith is precious because through faith we believe God by believing in God Almighty, Jesus Christ, our Savior. The object that the gospel presents to us is who saves us. The object is that object of Christ Jesus, who we believe on. That's who saves us. That's why faith is so precious. Everywhere in this book, the only thing that a sinner is told to do is nothing. That's it. You know what the most impossible thing for a dead sinner to do is? Nothing. He can't do anything, but he spends all his time trying to do something. But God gives faith that does nothing. That's what faith does. Faith casts everything into God's hand. Casts everything up into the hands of the Savior. That's what faith does. And trusts Him to have done everything and to do everything needed to bring me to the Father. That's what the Scriptures declare. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Because it's impossible for the Lord Jesus Christ to fail. That's why. God-given faith, it's a look that saves. It's a look that saves. That pole in the wilderness Moses lifted up. All that was required. That pole was a serpent lifted up. That thing that was biting them and killing them and destroying them is what Christ was made to be. He was made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He was lifted up on the cross like that serpent in the wilderness. He was lifted up to the right hand of the Father, declaring that God is satisfied. He's lifted up in the gospel we preach. And when God comes into the heart, He's lifted up in the heart of a sinner. And this is what the Scriptures declare to him. This is what Christ said to him. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so shall the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What else do I have to do? If you do anything else, you're not looking. If we do anything else, we're not trusting. If we do anything else, we're not believing. If we do anything else to try to bring ourselves to God, we're not trusting God only. Look unto me and be ye saved. And all the Levitical ceremonies, and all the Levitical ceremonies, and all the shadows and the figures and the types and all those ceremonies, they were objects to be looked upon. That's what they were for that time. Picturing that object who is Christ, who we look upon. And all the works done by another. All the prophets, everything they declared, everything they preached, everything they said of Him, do all the prophets give witness? That's what they were saying. Look, 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 believe, believe, believe. Behold the Lamb of God. You know what John the Baptist said? Look. Behold the Lamb of God. Look. Look. And everybody was too busy doing to just look. Just stop and look. Christ said, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He had sent. It's precious because not everybody has. It's called the faith of God's elect. That's what it's called. The faith of God's elect. It's precious because it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And it's precious because this faith is precious to God. Without it, it's impossible to please Him. Them that cometh to Him must come to Him believing that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Oh, I want some rewards. I want some rewards for things I've done. It means He is the Savior, the salvation of them that diligently seek Him. Those that diligently come to Him and seek Him, He does all the saving. He does all the saving. To you who believe, Christ is precious. This anointing is precious. Christ is precious. His blood is precious. And this faith He's given is precious. Then Revelation 5:8. I'll show you the fifth thing. I think we're going to have plenty of time. Revelation 5:8. Communion with our God. Access to our God. To know God hears us when we call upon Him. This is precious to the saint. This is precious to God. Revelation 5:8. Revelation 5:8. When he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials. And these golden vials that they had were full of incense. And that incense, that picture of this, that sweet, fragrant incense, it says, it which are the prayers of the saints. That's where it's there before Him. The prayers of the saints. The prayers of the saints that are yet in this earth. There. Golden vials full of odor, full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Prayer is the spiritual life of a renewed soul. That's what it is. Prayer is, it's not when a whole church stands up together and says that model that Christ gave when He taught His disciples how to pray. That's not prayer. That's not prayer at all. Prayer is life of the believer. You know, the first thing that Ananias was told whenever the Lord appeared to him and told him to go to Saul of Tarsus, that one who'd been all his life saying his prayers in the temple, praying and praying and praying and saying, oh, I'm so thankful I'm not like this publican over here. I fast twice in the week and I do this and I do that. All those times he said all those things. For the first time, this was the first thing the Lord said to Ananias. Behold, he prayeth. He prayeth. That's what the believer does. Continually, constantly, in all his waking hours, he's constantly living upon God Almighty. And we do call upon him. We do call upon him. And when the Spirit of God enters in and he creates life in us, because the excellency of God is the excellency of God, because the excellency of Christ is the excellency of Christ, because we behold how precious he is and how precious his blood is, and we behold this great and precious privilege he's given us to live and breathe in constant communion with our God, we stop trying to put on a show and let everybody see us pray, and we start praying. We really start praying. We start living. That's what we do. And living is a communal breathing in and breathing out of the life of God and communing with God. That's what prayer is. That's what true prayer is. And the believer does this. Believer lives in this. It's impossible for the excellency of God not to make it so. Not to make it so. Don't you ever worry about having to make another man pray. If God's his life, I guarantee he will. Does anybody have to remind you to breathe? Does anybody have to call you up and say, let me remind you to breathe? No. It's your life, isn't it? That's what prayer is. It's life. It's the prayer. Look here, of the saints. That's what he said. There's nobody that really prays but those who come to God through Jesus Christ, because the Spirit of God's in them. This is the prayer of those who are saints. That's what every believer is. He's a saint. Gonna be? Is. No, is. He's a saint. And that's who God hears. And why are these... Notice here that it says there's somebody between those who were already there in heaven and between those saints. It says here, the elders fell down before the Lamb. Before the Lamb. The Lamb was between them and the one who represents and Jehovah. That means, brethren, our prayers are incense, fragrant, a delight in the presence of God, because they come up to him in the Lamb, who is fragrant and pleasant and precious in God's sight. That's why we have access. That's why we live upon him. That's why what we ask is precious to him. Precious to him. Is that a burden? Is that a burden? Is that a duty? Is that a... No, that's a privilege. And let me ask you this. Is it a burden? Is it a duty to take every last minute care and detail of all your worry from all your sin and all your trouble in this world? It is a burden for you to completely, thoroughly give that to somebody else and not have to worry about it anymore? Is it? That's what prayer is. That's what prayer is. And that's not a burden, to call upon him, to approach his throne of grace in time of need. That's not a burden. Just not a burden. But chiefly, this is a precious before God, because it comes up through Christ. And this is what he says: "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. I will hear." Here's the sixth thing: God's thoughts towards us. His thoughts towards us. Psalm 139:17. "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them." Can you add them all up? I don't even know all the thoughts of God toward me. I just know, I try to preach to you Thursday night about his exceeding great and precious promises that are revealed in this book. And I didn't scratch the surface of what's revealed in this book about his exceeding great and precious promises. And there's exceeding great and precious promises which are his thoughts towards us, His promises are His thoughts towards us, precious towards us. Their thoughts exceedingly great and precious toward us that aren't even revealed in this book, that we don't even know about. God's thoughts of His people are as infinite as God is. He, when there was no time, y'all, who was the cartoon that said infinity and beyond? Is there beyond infinity? He's infinity. Infinity. When there was nothing but God, when there's no time or anything, His thoughts toward His people was choosing them in Christ, electing them in unto salvation in His Son. His thoughts were of sending His Son to redeem us. His thoughts were of regenerating each one in time and bringing us into this blessed union. His thoughts were of keeping us and preserving us through His gospel. His thoughts of bringing us into glory with Him forever. These were the thoughts that He had towards us. And as infinite as His thoughts are towards His people, they're unchangeable towards His people. How many times have your thoughts changed this morning? They changed any this morning? His haven't. Look, He said, I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Look at Psalm 55:7. I do want you to look at this one. Psalm 55:7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him. Do you hear that? Forsake your thoughts and come back to the Lord. Why? For He will abundantly pardon. For He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You see, He had to condescend to get us to even understand something of how much higher His thoughts are than our thoughts. He had to condescend to show us that as far as the heaven that you can see are from the earth, so His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His thoughts are a lot higher than that, than our thoughts. But He had to condescend to that degree just for me and you to even understand something about His thoughts to us. You see that? Oh, my thoughts, what I thought, that don't matter. That's not going to save anything. You know what the problem is when we have a little bit of prosperity in this world is, and what the problem with that is, we start thinking it was our thoughts that got us there. So we're smart enough now, we don't need God. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And all His thoughts are communicated to us in Christ Jesus, His Son. He's the expression of all His thoughts. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Where are those? They're all in Christ. All of them are in Christ. Because He was stricken, smitten of God, and wounded, it's through His wounds that God communicates His thoughts to us. You see, that was His thoughts to us. What you see hanging on Calvary's tree, just what we can comprehend with our natural understanding, that was God's, that's the thought of God, of the justice of God towards me and you. But Christ, risen, redeemed, seated at the right hand of God, that's God's thoughts of mercy towards us. So that His thoughts toward us are not thoughts of evil, thoughts of good towards His people. He brings us to an expected end. If you think about this, every troubling thought I have, and every troubling thought you have, is this not so? You that believe God and understand Him, and understand His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, tell me if this is not so. Every time you have trouble, and trouble is all in us. It's within us. That's where the trouble is. The trouble is not in the waves themselves. The trouble's in our heart. The waves are in our heart. And every time those waves and those troubles, we have those troubles, do they not all end? Do they not all come to an end when Christ speaks peace and says, be still, and makes our thoughts to stop right on Him and to think of Him? There's where the trouble ends, doesn't it? When He brings us to behold Him and makes us to think upon Him. That's when the trouble really ends. It could be the house could be on fire, a tornado could be on the way, and hell could be falling down out of the sky. And we'd have peace in our heart when He says it. That stuff is not the trouble. The trouble's in our thoughts, in our heart. He gives that peace in the heart. That's why His thoughts are precious to think about. Because this is what He says about every one of His children. This is His thoughts towards His children. The precious sons of Zion. The precious sons of Zion. This is God's thoughts towards His people, redeemed in Christ. The precious sons of Zion are comparable to fine gold. Fine gold. There He is, condescending again to something we can kind of enter into. It doesn't take a man long to start worrying about fine gold, does it? If you have some fine gold and you misplace it, you hunt high and low for it. You look all over the place for it. You won't be able to get any sleep at night for thinking about where in the world did I put that? Where is it? He says, that's what my sons are. You think God's going to forget them? Think He's not going to bring them to Himself? Save them? Protect them? How precious are Your thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. All right, here's the last thing. And this is Psalm 116:15. You've heard this scripture before at funerals quite a bit. Psalm 116:15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. If you read this whole scripture, this whole psalm, it's talking about His foot being nigh well slipped and nigh well gone, and how He sank down to lower parts, and how that God saved Him because He was precious. It goes back, everything I say is connected. This is a picture, first of all, of Christ, because His blood was precious in God's sight. God raised Him from the dead. God raised Him to newness of life. And because His blood is precious in God's sight, the blood, the life, the actual well-being of His saints is precious in His sight. So that He's going to save us, our foot from slipping. He's going to protect our foot from slipping. When He brings us into that trial and our old man dies and that new man's renewed day by day, that's a precious death in God's sight. A precious death in His sight. And finally, at last, when the saint of God dies, when he would depart this life, he says, it's precious in the sight of God. Whenever we think about death, our sight of death, our view of death, causes us somewhat to tremble when we think about our own, and it causes us fears and doubts and things. And when we have a loved one who dies, somebody that's near and dear to us, we have views of it as the end. We have views of it as this is it. And though they may be a believer and die in the Lord, we still sorrow about it. From our viewpoint, we have a sorrow of death as being the end. But let me ask you this question. Do you rejoice, you fathers and mothers, whenever you were expecting and looking forward to that newborn baby, and they laid that newborn baby in your arms, was that newborn precious in your sight? Precious in your sight. The biggest, the best, the fatherest, the highest any believer ever gets in this life. Though we do grow up in maturity as believers, the highest we ever get, whether we're die in infancy or whether we live to be, whether Willard Scott announces our birthday on the news in the morning. We're going to still be an infant. We'll still be a baby compared to the glory hereafter. Still be a baby. And so when I get this verse and I start thinking about it, I picture that when a child of God, when a saint of God passes from the womb of this world into the presence of his heavenly Father, it's as precious to our Lord as when they laid that newborn baby in the arms of an expecting father and mother. Wasn't that all rejoicing? It was all joy, wasn't it? Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saint. You know, the highest glory, the end for which God made this earth to glorify himself, is to save his children from death. To save his children from death. Whenever one of his saints passes out of this body of death, out of this world of death, into his presence, can you imagine? That's all I can do is try to imagine. The glorious jubilation in heaven toward Christ Jesus, the glory of God, who is shown again his victory over all sin and death. Can you see that? Precious in his sight. Precious anointing of the Holy Spirit, the preciousness of Christ himself, the preciousness of his finished work, his blood, the preciousness of faith whereby we believe on him, the preciousness of access into God's presence to his throne of grace, the preciousness of his thoughts toward us, the preciousness of the death of his saints. These things are precious to God. Are they precious to you? Are they precious to you? I pray the Lord to make it ever more so. Ever more so. Amen.